Continuing our thoughts and study in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 8 as we have been for a number of weeks. And I'd like to look at verses 26 and 27 this morning. It has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the exhorter, the one who encourages. The Lord did not want to leave us to be orphans. And we saw a little bit on one of the news stations or news network news about orphans and the struggles that they have. And you know what? If we were orphaned, we would struggle too. We would be in trouble. Because the adoptive or the parents, what's the term they use? The foster parents can't be with the kids all the time. And so therefore, they're left up to their own devices. And you know what? If we didn't have the comforter, we didn't have him, we would be left up to our own devices. And we did that which was right in our own eyes, we would really be in trouble. Just like the nation of Israel got themselves in trouble when they did that which was right in their own eyes. And we don't want to do that. And we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to stop His holy work in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we read, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The ministry of the Holy Spirit is making intercession for the saints. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to help us with our infirmities. And I don't think this is talking about our physical infirmities. This is the infirmities of our prayer life. We don't know what to ask God for, and we don't know what to pray. The only thing that I know for sure is I do want to glorify the Father and the Son. And the Lord said in a parable in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So when I come to the Lord in the morning or whenever I'm in prayer, I say, "Lord, I'm coming because I don't want to quit." And if that's all I get out of my prayer life, hey, that is good. Whether I get anything else or not, I don't want to faint. Because I know a guy who fainted once, and he lost something he wanted bad. Enough that he bawled over it. And it was Esau. He fainted, and he despised his birthright, and as Bob Jones Sr. said, he sacrificed his future on the altar of the immediate. And we don't want to do that. And we can do that. So, he helps us with our infirmities. That has to do with our prayer life, because we don't know what we ought to be praying. But he does. And he makes intercession for us with groanings. I like that. You know what that means? He's emotionally involved in your well-being and my well-being. He's groaning over the will of God in your life. It's an emotional thing for the Holy Spirit and His prayers for us. And I like that. I like that. I appreciate the fact that He cares that much for us. And so He's making intercession. In this verse 26, we see the personal pronouns we and us. And in Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit is praying for saved people. And in particular, He's praying for brethren. But I don't limit His prayer life just simply for brethren. But I do think that He intercedes on the behalf of all of God's children and their capacity. And so it's the we and the our in verse 26 and 7 has to do with the children of God. Romans 8:23 says, "Not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." We're groaning too. We're struggling too. We're struggling to know the will of God for our life, what God would have us to do. And so we need to have compassion. We need to have emotional involvement in responding to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as well. And I appreciate the fact that this has to do with groaning over the change of events that are going on in our world today. And when you watch what's going on and read what's going on, you groan. How can men do what they do and believe what they believe? You know, I was just thinking about how things were 30 years ago. 30 years ago or 40 years ago, when people respected each other. Now, I appreciate the fact that not everyone had the same rights, but I'm going to tell you, things are not any better. They are worse today than they were 40 years ago, and they've tried to fix everything correctly. And it's not any better. In fact, it's worse. Values. People have no values. They're lawless. You think that's better than it was when they had respect for the law? Well, anyway, we do groan because of things that are going on around us, but we need to be passionate about doing the will of God. In Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor?" I have never had the Lord sit down in one of my Bible classes to get to learn anything. And I don't know the mind of the Lord. I don't know His wisdom. I don't have His knowledge. All of those things are unsearchable. You know what that means? I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because I do not know the mind of God. They're past finding out. And He doesn't need our counsel. We need His. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is the one who's praying for us. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who searches the deep things of God. He understands them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." But you know what? The Holy Spirit knows all about those things. He knows about them. And He cares about them for us. So part of His ministry is to encourage us to love God. And that means if we love Him, we will do what? We'll keep His commandments. We'll obey Him. We'll follow Him. We'll do what He says. And so that means that we need to respond to the consequences of the prayers and the intercession of the Holy Spirit on our life. With what? With obedience. He's praying that we will do the will of God. We need to do it. And so therefore, in verse 10, he says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to know the mind of God, and He searches those things out, and He reveals them to us By what? By the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:16, it deals with the Holy Spirit and God's and the Lord's promise concerning the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, or an encourager. And the sense of this verse, an encourager just like me. Jesus was here on the earth. The Holy Spirit wasn't here at that time. It hadn't been given. He hadn't been given yet. But Jesus was here, and the Father shall give you another comforter. That's future tense. That wasn't then. Future. And that he may abide with you. And I like that abide. It's in the present tense. He's not here and there. I always want to say it, but I say it too many times. On again, Hennigan, Finnegan. You know, he's not that way. He's there. He abides with us. And he is with you for the age. And we only need him for 70 years. We don't need him for eternity. We need him for 70 years to intercede on our behalf. And we don't need him in the age to come because the Lord will be with us. Okay? Now, you know what? God answered that prayer. Jesus prayed, and God answered that prayer. He sent the comforter. He sent the exhorter. He sent the encourager. And I'm so glad that the Lord asked him to do that, because we truly, desperately need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. In John 7:39, it says, but he spake of the, and I believe it's the Abba Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet, and he was given when Jesus went to be with the Father. Now, in verse 26 of John 14, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, and sending the Holy Spirit by the Father in the name of the Lord, has to do with the Word of God, which has to do with the kingdom. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing for those of us who are believing in the present tense. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, let me say that sometimes it's hard for the Holy Spirit to bring things to remembrance. Did you know that? And the reason for that is that you've never remembered them. And that's the reason why it doesn't hurt to memorize Scripture. I can remember when I was in the Navy. I got a hold of some navigator verses. And I was an air crewman, and I flew a lot out over the ocean, and we'd go out for a 9-10 hour flight looking at ships. And I was just in the back riding along in case something happened. You know what I mean? I was there in case war broke out. In fact, I was telling the barber this week when I was getting a haircut, I said, you know, this is a Memorial Day. And you know, I just feel guilty. I've never been shot at once. When I was in the military, it was, nobody spit on us when we were overseas. They respected the United States. And the barber told me, he says, well, I'll tell you what, we can go down on the Nicollet Mall. We can change that. They'll shoot at you down there. So that's okay. Anyway, but memorizing, what I was going to say is, I memorized those Navigator verses. And I started teaching a young boys class in a Baptist church in Brunswick, Maine. And you know what? Having those verses revolutionized my Sunday school class. I just didn't have to sit there and open the quarterly and read every word. I had some things to add to what we were studying. And the Holy Spirit would bring it to remembrance, and I would share it. And it was fun. Memorizing Scripture really adds to your spiritual experience, your walk with the Lord. And you know what? It's the strangest places that the Lord will bring to remembrance things. Because I've had that happen in lots of interesting places where the Lord would bring things to remembrance. And it just was amazing at times. But anyway, so He will teach you all things, and He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit, I believe, teaches truth as well as the truth. It's God's will for all men to be saved and come to an experiential knowledge of truth. King James puts a definite article V in front of it. But it's God's will for all men to be saved and to come to the experiential knowledge of truth. But there is the truth, which is beyond truth. And I believe the truth has to do with the Word of God, the meat of the Word. In John 14:17, he continues, "Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and it shall be in and it shall be in you." By the way, the word spirit is neuter. That's even why the word Him is adding a masculine gender to the Holy Spirit. The word spirit is neuter in gender. Yet we do know from other verses that the Holy Spirit is masculine. So don't be confused about that. But anyway, the truth is what Israel had a hard time accepting. The truth had to do with the kingdom and ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. And it's the Spirit of truth whom the world or Israel could not receive. And I believe the word world here is Israel, because He wasn't teaching Roman soldiers. He was teaching Jews, saved Jews, and offering to them an opportunity to have a place in the kingdom of heaven, the rule of the heavens over the earth. And because it says that Israel could not see Him, present active, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, or know it. Now, I struggle with this verse a little bit, because today I don't see the Spirit today. Do you? I don't see the Holy Spirit today. I can't experience the Holy Spirit today. But what I can see is the truth. Israel couldn't see it, but I can see it. I see it in where? In the book. I can see it and I can know it. And so when you look at the phrase, the Spirit of the truth, I think the emphasis is on the truth rather than the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Spirit is in the accusative case, and the word truth or the truth is in the genitive case. So it's talking about the Spirit of the truth. And that is what I can see, and that's what I can experience and know. And I need to know that, and I know that the Holy Spirit is the one who is teaching that. That's His teaching ministry. And it shall be in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I need to know the Scriptures that pertain to the hope. And if it's in me, and it says here, and around me, the word para, that's the word with, it's beside. And I think that has to do with you and fellowship in the body of believers. If you're talking about it, so am I. that type of thing. Now, the truth of the gospel is found in Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before? In the word of the truth of the gospel. What did the truth reveal? The word of the truth of the gospel reveal the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. That has to do with our heavenly inheritance. Colossians 1 talks about us being made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And so that is what is the truth. Colossians 1:27 says, it talks about that God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Let me tell you, if it's a mystery, it takes the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You can study until you're blue in the face, and there's plenty of that going on today, and they can't get it. Reminds me of two fellows in Moses' day, Jannes and Jambres. They were the ones who were always bucking the faith, and they, in Moses' day, they were always studying and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that happens today. I mean, you just think about all the people that are coming out of seminaries. I can remember a fellow down in Dallas. We were visiting an old church that I went to when I was a youngster, and with my mother. And I told him that I was a pastor of Grace Bible Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that I didn't graduate from seminary. And he says, "Man," he says, "you just can't believe how many men in Dallas are graduates of seminary, of the Dallas Theological Seminary, and can't get a job. And you didn't even graduate from one, and you got a job." So anyway, the Lord's gracious to me, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share. So it's a mystery, and it takes the Holy Spirit to learn the mystery. And this mystery is not only was offered to Israel, but it's also offered to save Gentiles, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, back in John chapter 14, verse 18, it says, "I will not leave you comfortless." The word "comfortless" is the Greek word orphanos. And you know what we get from that word? Orphan. That's what the word means. I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. And it's expedient that I leave, so he will come. John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Jesus was limited to where he could be in his day. If he didn't leave, the Comforter wouldn't come. But you know what? When he left, the Holy Spirit affects all those who know the Lord. He's everywhere. He's not limited to being in one place. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, "When he," that is the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will reprove," or rebuke. That word "rebuke" is reprove, is rebuke, translated that way. "The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And I associate the world with Israel, because and not the world in general, because the world is not going to be rebuked by God, because they're working and operating their own values. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is ministering to believers. And he's going to rebuke the saved. In this case, at this particular time, it was Israel, because the Gentiles were not included at this time. That happened later in the ministry of Paul and in the ministry of Peter. And so the world here is saved Jews, and he's going to rebuke them of their sin. He's going to challenge them in their righteousness and of judgment. Now, verse 9 says, "Of sin, because they believe not in me." Now, "they" is a reference to somebody. It's in plural. And that word "they" is found in John 16:2. "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." "They" is a reference to the rulers of the synagogue. So they are the ones that believe not. Because it was the rulers of the synagogues, it was the rulers that rejected the ministry of Jesus Christ. In John 6, 20 and 64, it says, "But there were some of you that believed not." Present active. By the way, I didn't mention this. The word "believe" in John 16:9 is in the present tense. It's present active. So this isn't talking about getting convicting people of sin to get them saved. This is talking about saved people who won't believe in the present tense. That's what he's going to convict them. Because if you're called into his kingdom in glory and you're not believing in the present tense, you're not living by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. That's what it means to not believe in the present tense. It means not to be living by faith. And if you're not living by faith, it's sin. Now, there are some of you that believe not, talking about those who were listening to Jesus teach as he was going along. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed, present active, not, and who would betray him. Judas did not believe in the present tense. Peter, James, and John did, and the other apostles, but Judas didn't. Yet Judas had believed in the aorist tense, because Judas was a disciple of the Lord. And when you read the qualifications of discipleship, Judas couldn't be anything but saved. That's all there is to it. Now, in John chapter 9, verse 38, we see the rebuke of the sin. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This was the blind man. So these verses are in the notes, because Paul was asking me about it. Are these notes, are these verses in the notes this morning? Because we were talking about this in Sunday school. And I write it down and that's it. And then I remember it when I read it. Sometimes I don't remember. But anyway. And he said, "Lord, I believe." Present active. This is what the blind man said, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world," or unto Israel, "that they would see," present active, "may not see." And I think that this, when it says "what they would see, may not see," is a reference to those who say they see. Okay? Because we'll see that in just a moment. They say they see, that they may not see. And that they would see not. Let me back up. And so, for judgment I came into this world, that they would see, not might see. And that they which see might be made blind. Okay? And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin." That's a pretty interesting statement. Do blind men have an advantage over us who see? If you're blind, you don't need to be saved because you have no sin. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about believing in the present tense. If ye are blind, you should have no sin. In other words, if you can't see what I've been teaching, then you're not guilty of the sin of not believing in the present tense. But now you say, "We see." Therefore your sin remaineth. When you say you see, and you have the truth, and it's really not what the Lord would have you to have, then you're still in your sin. And the Lord I mean, these are not easy work, easy verses or easy thoughts, but it's the truth. Now, back to John 16. He's going to rebuke when it comes to righteousness. And Jesus said, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. When Jesus went into the heavens, he went there to be our high priest, and he's interceding on our behalf because of our sin, confession of sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Romans 3:22. He's going to rebuke us as far as righteousness is concerned, and that righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe in the present tense. For there's no difference. So, he's going to rebuke us. How? That we might please him, the righteousness which is of faith. Verse 11 of John 16. Of judgment. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, I know that most people look at this as the prince of this world is Satan. But I don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to flop words, the meaning of words around, because before we saw that Israel or the world was Israel. And he's not going to change his mind in just two verses. And so when I was studying this of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, we know that, first of all, Satan is not the prince of Israel. Satan is not the prince of Israel. He is over the other nations of the world, but not over Israel. And it's the prince of Israel that is being judged. And who is the prince of Israel? Well, in Acts 23:5, it says, Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he, in other words, I didn't know he was a high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. In other words, who is he judging here? I believe it's the high priest. Caiaphas was the high priest, and he was the one who was judged. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 6, Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die. Die the death, lest you die. And in Mark 14:63, it says, then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? I thought it was interesting. I didn't put the other verse in here, verse 64. Caiaphas rent his clothes, and that meant he was disqualified to be the high priest, and he should die. And yet it's Caiaphas who rent his clothes that says that Jesus is the one who needs to die. That just shows you how mixed up spiritual leaders can be about the truth. He knew that he shouldn't have rent his clothes, but he did. And he was disqualified to be the high priest. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Lord took over. Thank goodness for that. Then in verse 12 he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And what this is saying is this to me. The Holy Spirit is waiting to hear from God the Father what He wants us to know. In other words, He tells the Holy Spirit, you show Him this. It's time for Him to get this now. And He's going to show you things to come. And what are the things that are coming as far as you and I are concerned? Our inheritance in the coming kingdom. They're good things to come. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come in high priest, of good things to come. Those good things to come has to do with an age-lasting inheritance in Hebrews 9:15. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of age-lasting inheritance. That's the good things to come. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is showing those things to those that are believing in the present tense. And then, in closing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has to do with the will of God in our life. And he is, in verse 27, he, the church is the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I think the ones that are, the first personal pronoun, he, is a reference to God. God is the one who searches the heart. He knows the mind of the Spirit as well. They are all in the same mind. They are of one mind. And so the Holy Spirit is working that we might do the will of God. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the age-lasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is helping us to do His will. And you know what? We need that help. And I pray this in the morning, Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I say, Lord, help me to respond to that good work. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to respond to that. I don't want to resist it. And I pray that in the morning. And we need to be aware of the fact that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can resist it. We can resist God working in us through the Holy Spirit to be complete and to do His will and to hear a well done, thou great and faithful servant. Well, hopefully this will get you studying on other parts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure I didn't cover everything, and I probably didn't do as good a job as I would have liked to have done, but I hope I've stimulated your thinking in some areas, and may the Lord help us to grow some more in as far as His ministry is concerned in our life. Father, just thank You for not leaving us an orphan, not leaving us to our own devices, but rebuking us when we need to be changed. We know, Lord, that You rebuke those whom You love, that they would repent. And Lord, we know that rebuking us through the Spirit is to help us to respond to the things that we need to respond to, that we might be found complete in You. And we pray, Lord, that You'd bless the message to our hearts this morning and in the days and weeks ahead. May we be found approved of Thee in that day when we stand in Your presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.